different. Makes you really talk different. Makes you love different. It just makes a change all over. Even in the house. Now, sometimes we say we got the same house. That's right. We have. But it may, there's another man in there, and it makes a change in the house. If the house don't change, I doubt whether it's a new man in there. So I just don't ride on and say, well, my house is the same. Yes, the same house. I go along there, but it's another man. But it don't act the same. It don't carry on the same. There's a difference in the house. If they're not, then there's something wrong. So when I say the house is the same, that don't mean I'm justifying everything it does. That don't mean I say it's all right. That he can run wild. No, it ain't all right. I want the husband to get it. So when I want the husband to put it in order. I want him to put it straight. I want him to tell the house to sit down and behave itself. Is that right? I want that thing to tell that house to die. Is that right? We have to die to all the deeds and everything, and just all of the mortal horse. We got to die to it. I don't believe we're letting it run wild. I ain't never believed that. No, no. I know it better than that when it was in apostolic and didn't even have a revelation. I know they had to work on it some way. I mean, as I always taught them, this message has given me a real balance. Even though I say our spirit's the same, but there's another man a hold of it. My spirit's the same, all right, but there's another man got it. That makes it different then. Makes it act different. It won't let me go with my own thinking. Just like your wife. If you let her go, just keep using her own thinking on you. You never say nothing. Just shut up. Just let her carry on. You'll kill her. And she'll kill you. She'll send both of you to hell. Is that right? She'll send you right on. She'll have you out there in the joint with her. If you let her, if she wanted to go to a joint, and you just let her carry on, first thing you know, she'd have you right out there with her. You better start trying to talk her out of it. And that's right. And that's what God does. He said, hey, I don't want to go to a joint. I want to go to the house of God. The house here says, well, I don't hardly feel like going to church the night or the day. Well, now, wait a minute. Where do you get that feeling from? Let's check that feeling by the word. Let's see whether you're right or not. Let's check it. And if your feeling ain't according to this word, let's get it in line with the word. See? So we see a lot of people, you know. I was just telling my wife, won't mention no names. I said, some people handle God like they've got him controlled. They can do anything they want to, anytime they want to. Come to church anytime they want to. Quit anytime they want to. Start back anytime they want to. Don't have no respect for the pastor. Just ignore everything he says and use their own mind, and they ain't done a thing. Lay down, go to sleep, stay out of church for 6 months, come right back and say, Brother Schultz been my pastor all the time. I ain't been your pastor. You've been your own pastor. I ain't been nothing to you. If I had, you'd been with me. That's right. I don't even claim you. No, sir. I'm going to be real honest with you. These people claims me. I don't even claim them. Yes, sir. I'm being real honest about this. There's a whole lot of people claims me that I don't even claim them. And you know, you check it that way, you might say, I claim Jesus Christ, but does he claim you? Does he accept you? You say, I've accepted him, but has he accepted you? There, it goes a little further than that. I don't care how much you accepted, has he accepted you? Makes a little bit difference on it. You know, sometimes we say, well, I accept Brother Schuler, but has he accepted you? And to say, well, it don't have nothing to do with it. It has everything to do with it. If I'm going to be anything to you, you're going to listen to me. I ain't going to have nothing to do with you. That's exactly. And that's the way God is. If a pastor was different from God, there'd be something wrong with him. If he let you by with everything and don't correct you by the word, I doubt his ministry. But watch out. Don't get hurt. If it's a real ministry, he's going to act like God. He's going to govern like God. He's going to bring chastisement down like God. He's going to do everything like God. Ain't no, well, say I'm weak. Well, there ain't no cover up for that. But he's strong. You might be weak, but he's strong. Is that right? Well, that's not my sermon. But see, it takes it all, friends. See, I do believe in the middle road. If there ever was a man's got in the middle road, I've got in the middle road. You might not think that, but I know I've got in the middle road. Because I follow this right here. This is my guideline for everything. Then I take the prophet's life and his example that he laid before me to show that it was real. The way it worked in his life is the way it's got to work in our lives. Exactly. If I'm confused on anything, I'll go back and see how he dealt with it, how he handled it, how he walked with it. And if I see him doing that, I say, that's right. He was the first one. Is that right? If he's the first one, I'm going to watch him. And if I'm your pastor, watch me. Is that right? If you don't watch me, there's something wrong. You're never going to hire your pastor. Is that right? If I'm a bad man, you'll be a bad man. If I'm rotten, the congregation will be rotten. I can't help it. I have to say that. If the pastor is rotten, his congregation will be rotten. They ain't no stronger than he is. I don't care what. If you're sitting over and eat that garbage, don't tell me you're healthier than he is. No, you ain't. If you're eating the same food and putting up with sitting down at the same table all the time, you tell me, well, I'm stronger than he is. How can you be strong when you're eating the same food? You can't be. It just don't work that way, friends. Only way you can get stronger, change tables. Start eating different food. Is that right? Amen. If it's killed him, it'll kill you if you eat it. Is that right? God help us. And I'm not doing this to make nobody look bad. I'm just praying the word. I'll let you judge it when I flash it out there. I mean, look at it and see whether I'm talking right. Amen. We ain't trying to cover up for nobody now. I don't want you even cover up for me. Not really. I'm being real honest. I mean, put something on me to help me. If I'm a whole limb is about to break, tell me where there's one that's not breaking. That's all I tell you. If I'm about to fall, tell me there's one right on up there that I can reach on up and get a hold of that's not falling. See? Give me a way out. Don't cut it off and don't give me no way out. I will fall. See, Brother Branham said God gives us a way out. God tells us there's something stronger. As this one man, when he started to come that storm, he was walking, headed down towards that pitfall. This man come out, he studied, he knowed the weather, knowed the sign and everything. Oh, he said, if it's coming, he come out, told this man, said, don't go no further. Said, it's fixing to come just any moment. This man laughed at him and said, tend to your own business. I know what I'm doing, smart man. But he didn't return. He went on. And he didn't come back. He went with it. And listen, if we don't give heed, friends, we're in serious trouble. All right. Now I'm in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. We just deal with some of this that we've been dealing with. Nothing too new. It's all in here. I enjoyed the service Wednesday night. It was so beautiful, and Parnell just worked on that thing. I'm sitting back there smiling. You know, I love to see a man work on it. I love to see a man. If Brother Branham said, I love to hear a man talk that knows what he's talking about. Now, that's what the prophet said. Now, the prophet didn't care much about hearing a man, didn't know what he's talking about. And you know what? I got that same problem. I don't like to hear a man that don't know what he's talking about. Facts, I wouldn't give you 2 cents for him. He's wasting my time. And I try to be nice sometimes just in respect, but I can, if he would ask him, I could tell him that he's wasting his time and my time. He's ready. And then maybe I give him some of my time just hoping some words he gets straightened out. But I can tell him he's wasting time. He's spinning his wheels and he ain't going nowhere. See? So I believe in this hour the bride is looking for somebody that knows what they're talking about. If we don't know what we're talking about now, when are we going to get started? The prophet been gone, what, 22 years or so, something like that? And if we don't know now, and if I've been in this message all the time he's been gone, and right after he went, but when I came in the message, I came in this message in 66, and he left out the last part of 65, and 66 this message dropped in my hand. So I've been in this message practically ever since the prophet been gone. So we realize I come up with the mess. Everything they was looking for and all the expecting all this and going over there on Easterns and looking for Brother Branham the race. Remember, I come up to it all. I mean, I came into it right after he had passed away, early part of 66. I came in the message. And I'd read this, Bose had put this hurl of faith out, and I'd read this little sketch that he gave of Brother Branham's death. See, so that was the last part of 65 or 66 when he put this hurl of faith out. Bose did, and he was a lover of Brother Branham. He put it out that we lost a great man, and he put a message in there, William Branham, and I was getting this hurl of faith. I was getting this magazine, and I read that of Brother Branham's death. See, just before it came in the message, I had heard of Brother Branham, and I knew this man that spoke of Brother Branham. I had read a few of Brother Branham's messages that he put in this magazine, because I got the magazine monthly, you see. So when he made such a high statement of Brother Branham, it jarred my thinking. I thought, this man, Trinitarian, can speak so highly of a oneless fellow? I thought there's something, you know, because I was apostolic and dealt with Trinitarian. You don't get too many Trinitarians speak high of a one God man. Now, that's unusual, and I know that. He won't hold him up much because he'll disgrade himself. But this man helped William Branham up so high that it stopped me. It made me think, how can this man say such a great thing? He said, I've been in Brother Branham's services. Never one time, he said, that I didn't feel a warm welcome and the Holy Spirit moving through the congregation. Man, he was telling how God moved in the service of William Branham and how he felt that he was welcome in there, how the man had a gift of God and was used mightily of God. This man going on like that to me? I'm going, wait a minute. I thought, boy, this one God man must be pretty great. Not knowing he was a prophet at that time, I just thought he was one of the oneness, you know, apostolic denomination. And I thought, boy, William Branham's got a good report from this fellow and how he held him up so high and told how he got killed and everything. And right after that, this message dropped in my hand by the way of these books. Way of these books. It came. Never heard a man preach it. Never had met a man that believed it. I came in by the books only. Thank God, it will do it. You don't even have to really hear a man preach it to get started. You can read, hear what he said. We'll turn you in the right direction. Well, it headed me in the right direction, friends. It put the brakes on me and stopped me and started me thinking, this man's saying something. And then when I met men preaching it, at that time, they hurt me. They confused me. I tell you, the ministry that I came up and under in this message didn't help me any. I'd been better off in one sense of the word. I never heard it. It caused me to go round and around because, you know, I was looking at these men, knew what they were saying to start off with. I was young in it. I didn't know the message. And I began to look at these brothers for helps. And I thought they were speaking truth to me. But the further I'd go with them, the sicker I got. And I said, wait a minute. Y'all don't know how I roll with this to get what I've got. You don't know the suffering and the agony and how I cried and rolled the bed, how ministers in this message tore my heart out of me. I go home and wet the pillow because I wanted it right. And there was something in my spirit so torn. Every time I'd go to hear them, they'd tire my spirit. Something in me disagreed with it. Something said it wasn't right, but I didn't know what was right. See, you know, sometimes your spirit will say, whoa, put the brakes on. Something not right. But at that time, you don't know what's right either. What a spot that puts you in. That puts you in a twitch. You don't know what to do. Then I say, oh, God. What is truth, Lord? If I can't eat this and these men is false, then what is truth? Then I sought God. And by me seeking God diligently, God came to my rescue and he let me know what truth was. And he let me know to take my eyes off of every man. I'll never forget that. Every minister, God supernaturally so pricked me or so touched me to take my eyes open. Every minister. Now, there's a reason for that. God told me that as sure as I'm standing in this pulpit. God told me, said, you take your eyes open, every minister, every fleshly man, and I will reveal this to you. I said, God, I don't know nothing else to do but that. I am sick of everybody I've seen. But he said, get your eyes off of them because they're harming you, they're hurting you, and I cannot get you thinking straight as long as you're hanging on to that. Get your eyes off of it and seek me and me only, and I will reveal this to you. Amen. And that's the way that the Holy Spirit has done. And what can I say today but, Lord, thank you. It's been a lot of rough and restless times, but I'm here. Thank God that I'm here. I'm here in the kingdom. You know, I've been sealed in the kingdom so long. You know, we've been sealed in for a long time. You were sealed in the kingdom before you even knew about it. That's exactly true. See, I'm talking about the way God looks at it. You know, the only thing that hurts us, we're too much human. We want to weigh everything in our little thinking. But you got to look through God's eyes and see what He done. Just like He said, Noah was sealed in under the third pole. He gave his life message and went in and was sealed in the ark. Well, how long has this ark been here? Right. See, how long has the third pole been on? You had been sealed in ever since the third pole come. Ever since the ark come on the scene, moved on the scene. You was part of that, and you went in with it. Whether you even knew it or not, you went in with it. You was counted for. Is that right? There's no way that you could talk yourself out of it. The rest of them mocking and scorning. But the very moment that something come to you, you didn't have no trouble identifying with it. There was something pricked your heart. There was something already there. Bearing witness of it. Is that right? God help us. That's why Brother Branham could say, while you were sealed in, you was part of the mechanics. Is that right? You was part of the mechanics. If He brings all the mechanics on the scene, He brought you on the scene. Is that right? He was telling you, you're part of this thing. You can't do nothing but go with it. That's what I like. See, it's not, you can't control it. It controls you. See, He just showed me that I was already counted for. Already added to it. I was part of this body. Is that right? How could I walk away from it when that was me? When God seen that me. Brother, we're talking about the mystery. What is it? It's a mystery of the body of Jesus Christ. And you got to see what part of that mystery you already are. Not you're going to be. You already a part of that. God's counted you in, sealed you in, and brought it here and stuck it in all of you. So can you see yourself in this anyways? If you can, identify with it and get with it. Oh, He didn't wait till you get here to get part of it. He's already part of it. He just brought it and laid it on your nose and said, do you like what you see? Here it is. Tell me what you see. And look at this puzzle and tell me what part you are of it. Is that right? I begin to look at that. I said, right there. Right there it is. You mean that's you? You're in that? Yeah, I'm in that and I didn't even know it. God took care of that when I didn't even know it. Amen. 2 Corinthians. Now, my little thought today would be maybe I could use the words, the birth is a process. But the thing that I want to use is growing. Growing into a birth. Now, there is a process, and it's a growing process. The reason many people don't come into it and can't grow into it, they haven't been taught. They don't know what to take a hold of. They don't know what direction to get in. And to grow into this, you got to have some help. Is that right? The baby hasn't got here by itself. Is that right? There ain't nobody's ever been born, got here by yourself. Somebody's had a hand in it. Is that right? Somebody's helped you get in here. And then in the first place before a baby gets here, it's got to be begotten. Is that right? It's got to have a starting place. Is that right? So some way it's got to have some kind of something. And he didn't do it on his own. He didn't really have anything to do with it, period. When you really look at it, it was somebody else. You was in somebody else's hands. I'm glad I've been in somebody else's hands, but I'm glad I've been in somebody's good hands. I've been in God's hands all the way through. God has brought me to this place, and that's why He said this bride won't be man-handled. She'll be God-handled and nothing else. And this whole birth is not a man-handled. It's God-handled from the beginning to the end. Now, the reason why you go around a lot of churches in the message, the reason why they stop short, they haven't been taught. Amen. They haven't been taught in the proper manner. The mechanics and everything hasn't been laid out to them. And they don't know what to do. They say, well, I believe the prophet's message. And that's about as far as they get. I mean, in a sense, they've accepted it far as they know in their mental faith, but they don't understand. Birth is an understanding from the start to the finish. From the start to the finish, from the time God gets a hold of you, He starts dealing with your understanding. See, He don't just quicken it all at once. He starts bringing you through something. You begin to understand here a little and there a little and here a little and there a little. And after a while, you're putting the thing together and it begins to make sense. And without making any sense, you ain't going nowhere. You ain't getting no birth unless something starts ringing a bell to you. Because it's sale upon sale. Is that right? The prophet said it's not a cat sale. It's not a dog sale. It's ever been human sale or it's ever been God sale. So to get to birth, I've got to get some sales together. Is that right? I've got to be made up of something. Is that right? And if we don't understand this, we just come in the message, we say, well, praise God, we've had a prophet. And praise God, they say, you believe what it says you're in. So I believe it, so I've got a birth. And you don't know head from tails about nothing. You ain't never come through nothing. You ain't never went to school a day in your life. But you got everything. You already got your diploma, so to speak. And you ain't never went to school. You got to start in school. I tell you, those disciples got into school. How many believe that? Were they taught? The kingdom teaching? Was he all about himself? All about the kingdom? He taught them 3 years and a half. Boy, they took a lot of sales on. I mean, they took a lot of word on. If you'd sat there 3.5 years, couldn't you say you took it on? You took it on or you wouldn't listen. Listen, if you only knew how many times he called them off and explained things to them, he had a purpose for it. He wanted them to understand it. Is that right? The rest of them he didn't spend no time with, but the elect, he spends time with you when you don't even realize that he's dealing with you. Amen. All right. I'm glad he takes a lot of time with us. I never come to this place. He spent a lot of time with me. If I go back all of these years from the time I started trying to get a birth, until I got one all them years, who spent all that time with me? Amen. Somebody did. I wasn't getting there by myself. Somebody had a hold of me from the time I started until I ended. I hope we can see that. I really do. Brother Brown, I'm talking about you staggered in here and you staggered out in there. You went in here. He said, that's God all the time. That's God all the time. Amen. And I didn't even know it. I thought, my. You know, I'd call it all wasted time. But it really wasn't. There was a purpose in every bit of it. There was a purpose. You're taking the route that you're taking. You got something out of it. You got something out of it you needed. Oh, yeah. To help you on down the road. Every place that you ever went to, you went there for a purpose, and you got something out of it that you needed somewhere for some kind of experience, and you don't have to deal with something else. You needed to take that route. Amen. God don't do nothing wasting time. Is that right? So what I'm trying to say, it's a process, and I want you to really understand this, and it is a growth. See, if we don't understand that, then you just jump into it. You don't have no growth. No, there's a growth. I want you to get that point. There is a growth to a birth. And then the thing that I want to show you when I'm reading here in the 2 Corinthians, I want you to show why you're growing into a birth down here, this eternal birth. There's another body growing there to receive your soul when it leaves here. It'll go there. So what I'm trying to show, there's been a process going on all the way. Your theophany has been coming in to manifestation too. As same as you coming into your birth, your theophany, it's all eternal. You understand? It's all eternal quality. But something had to bring it forth into manifestation. Your theophany had to come into manifestation just as you was coming in to manifestation down here. Your theophany was coming into manifestation up there. Awaiting when you shed this tabernacle to go to that tabernacle. Can you see? And every bit of it's been a process, but it's been God's eternal hand all the time. Is that right? But if we haven't been taught these things, then we won't know what's been going on. See, there's eternal house. And as I said Wednesday night, you can't have two houses at the same time. You can have two natures, but not two houses. And see, that gets in the same. And we need to understand that. If you don't understand two nature, you don't even understand God's the election, God's predestination. See, there's so much that we need to understand to even find out who we are. Is that right? See, if you don't really understand predestination, you don't even know who you are. Amen. You don't know God's pre-planned you, laid everything out, had a certain way, and had a certain way he's going to deal with you. He knew the very minister would get a hold of you. He knew the very man that would tutor you to the place where you are. He knew that. He had your life ordained clear through. Amen. Some of you wonder why you come here. But God knew why you come here. God sent many people through here for help. To get help right here. He sent many of a minister. Maybe didn't stay, but he was ordained to take one trip to this place. That said, no, one ministry, one time, there was something he had to pick up and go from there. Sometimes you pick up one thing. God takes the rest of it, takes you right from there. But he'll send you through to pick up something. He'll send you through and say, certain man's got to speak to you. And when it does, it'll register and it'll ring a bell. And from there, God takes it and just keeps adding to it and bringing you right along. See, that's why just one man don't have to just carry you through, get by the hand. No, there's a starting, and God can take that thing sometime. Got to be a seed sown. Sometimes just a seed sown. So like Paul said, one planteth, one water, but God gives the increase. Don't you see there's purpose for all of them? The fivefold ministry. You don't want to neglect any of it. Every bit of it plays its role. And you can't even come through this process without it. That's the thing I'd like to see. We're talking about come to unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, into a statue of a perfect man. You can't get there by yourself. And there's an understanding coming while you're getting there. And if you ever never got that understanding, you didn't get there. The reason a lot of people can't tell where they're at or where they're going, they ain't been through nothing. They've sitting on some dead ministry. That don't have no life to it, no ring to it. Don't even know how to take the mechanics. Don't know how to put the mechanics in his place that calls you to build sail on sail. See, do you know sail on sail is part of this word? Bringing you to birth is some minister by the Holy Ghost taking this thing and putting sail on you and sail on you, putting word on you. It's bringing you to a spot that God had ordained for you. And it's a growth. So if you don't get in that light, how are you going to come to maturity? We're talking about coming to maturity. How are you going to come to maturity? Brother Bam talked about the bodies coming to full maturity. How did it come to full maturity? It kept adding word. Is that right? This statue, Brother Man, talking about Luther started out. It started out part of that statue, part of that perfect man. Is that right? Brother Branham used it like the feet. He had a saying for that. He had a truth for saying that because the seed went in. The statue went in. And when it started back out, it had to start from somewhere, so it started from the feet. So Luther was part of the resurrection. Luther was part of this rapture. Don't you see? And he would start moving back and his word on word until they build another statue. Amen. And the same way he's building them, he'll start with you as a human being and he's going to build a statue right in your life. Right in you, and he's going to let you know how you come to that statue. Amen. You can't even get that statue and not know how you got there. No. See, there's an understanding. That's why when Satan comes to try to hit you, say, wait a minute. I know the road I took. I know who had hold of me. I know what I am. You don't tell me I ain't the Word because I know how I become the Word. Yes. Brother Bram said you become the Word as you receive the Word. You become God as you receive God. Oh boy, I hope we're getting some. I'm just trying to deal with the mechanics enough because remember we got new people here. I mean, in a sense, we got young people. Maybe I haven't been over some of this for a while. Will it hurt if I lay some of this in? Maybe we've been through it several years ago, but how about taking another trip? How about looking at it again? Let's see where your pastor or where you've been sitting, where they've taught you like this, where they've cleared up your thinking. You know, our thinking was polluted. Our thinking was defiled. Our womb was defiled. The first thing God's got to do is clean it out and make a virgin womb out of it.
Brother Branham said you've got to even have a virgin mind. And I tell you, one time, I don't think my mind was virgin, but he made a virgin out of it. How? By the Word. Amen. Don't you see? Made a virgin of the Word. I got a virgin belief. Do you know you've got to have a virgin belief in this Word? You can't have one little ideal of yourself, or you can't come to a birth. The only way you can get to birth is have a virgin belief of what Brother Adam taught. Amen. Is that right? Amen. Well, that's the reason why. You go out here to these churches, if they don't teach this, don't you say they got it. Amen. Listen, friends, this come by laying it together. Somebody taking it and putting it together and brings your understanding. What is a birth? It's an understanding. It's a clear understanding. That's what a birth is about. How can you get it when they ain't taught you a clear understanding? Can you see? It's got to be preached. Brother Branham said this mystery is made known by preaching. This is why I say we need to preach. That's why Paul prayed that the door of utterance be opened, that he might make the mystery known. This mystery is him and his bride together. Amen. Oh, my, there's so much. And I brought some quotations, so I must hurry. I'm just kind of backgrounding because I want you to see the reason why I'm saying what I'm saying. Because without this, friends, you can't come to this growth. This growth is coming by sale upon sale, just like in the natural, the baby, you know, in the womb is begotten and sale comes upon sale, Brother Man. So it starts like in the backbone and it begins to build out through, you see. Well, okay, we have to start from somewhere. Is that right? And you got to begin to put this thing together because we can't be part of God and part of the denomination. See, you've got to be every bit God or he won't have you. See, that's why he said, if God was the Word, he said, what must the bride be? Can you see it? If God was total Word, then you must be total Word. In this hour, friends, whether you realize it or not, if you are born again, you are total the manifested Word for this hour. Can you see that? I'm not short nothing. I don't like nothing. You can't make God like anything. See, even though there's a process of manifestation as we go along, we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, but I'm talking about me, myself, or God. He don't like nothing, but he's manifesting himself. He's making himself known, and by doing that, he brings us to the spot that we see our day, we see our scripture, and it automatically manifests it. See, I have nothing to do with the scripture manifesting through me. In a sense, I do not control that. Brother Branham, I told you, he said, you do it as your heartbeat. And I just read it this week. He said it comes right out through your bride as your heartbeat. It's a life that's already in there. You can't stop it. You have nothing to do with it. As you're walking through, he said the scripture are living out through you. God controls that. I don't have myself. That's part of his life. He's leading me through. I'm not leading myself. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow, but he does. I don't know what I'm going to say tomorrow, but he does. And all I do is just go by faith. I raise up and I start walking by faith. And whatever he wants me to say, whatever he wants me to stand for, whatever scripture he wants me to manifest, he'll automatically bring it and it'll go out through me. Even though when I'm trying to stop it, say this speak, I can't stop God's life. Is that right? Some people think that's why I don't believe you cut God on and off. When I see people like that, lay him down and pick him up and lay him. Oh, friends, there's something bad wrong. You ain't picked me up in the first place. No wonder you can lay him down. That's all in your thinking. Well, I've got God. It's just in your thinking you got him. You know, you in some other realm you got him. Then your thinking changed. Well, say, I don't have time from the day. Maybe when I make $1 million, I'll pick him back up. He might not be around when you make your $1 million. Go ahead and have your fun. Go ahead and dream. Go ahead and I'm going to be a millionaire. And when I do, then I'm going to help the church. They might not be one to help. Oh, a lot of people's got a lot of plans. They're going to do a lot of things. It's all in their thinking, don't you see? It's not according to God. It's their own filthy mind thinking. God don't want none of that. Now let me read my scripture. I just hope you kindly get in. I won't say all this today because my 35 minutes of my time is gone. The second Corinthians, the fifth chapter, reason I want to read this here, I've got some quotations. I want to read you, Brother Branham, what I've already said, some of it. But I want to show you how Brother Branham laid this in, because this is part of the mechanics. And you're coming to a birth, to a process of growing. Don't stop when you believe. Because Brother Branham says many stop short of an experience. Many stop short. It's because they haven't been, a lot of them have been taught. Do you know that's why maybe you have lingered? You might have been seed for years and years. And well, you've been seed all the time if you was seed. But the reason maybe why you're sitting under this, you're sitting on, nothing could bring it, because it's got to be a certain water. It's got to be a certain revelation. See, your seed cannot come to life in under creeds. In under false water, so to speak, denominational water, or anything outside the true revelation. If I don't bring you the true, perfect revelation, I don't bring you the water that you need on your seed.
Amen.
See, there's many types of water, Brother Branham. There's Baptist water. There's Pentecostal water. Is that right? There's Presbyterian water. There's water of this message. A lot of people's got it figured out. That they're putting out some kind of water, but it's stagnated. It'll kill you instead of bringing you the life. It'll kill you. So there's many people in this message has got some type of water. But to have the real rain of God, the real water of God, you have to have the revelation clearly right yourself. I cannot bring the rain upon you, bring this lather rain to you, unless I've got the mechanics right myself, because it follows the mechanics. Is that right? If I'm laying the mechanics out perfect, God's following it. He's vindicating it. He says, this is it. And you'll come right to what you're supposed to come to if you're following in order.
Amen.
See, just follow me through the scripture and I'll walk you right into birth. That's right. Any true minister can take you right into a birth if you're following through the scripture. And watch, if it's a true birth, he's taking you through the scripture. He's not taking through some sensation, some altar call, or some just all of a sudden just something fell out of the sky, and you don't know what happened. You couldn't even talk about your day. You couldn't even be a witness. You couldn't even tell how you got your candle lit. Brother Branham says you got to even tell how you got your candle lit. Well, how about you don't know how you got it lit? Don't you see where a lot of people would be? You got to go out here. He said, every person, he said, if you don't have nothing else, just tell how you got the candle lit. Well, some people couldn't even tell you how they got it lit. I guarantee you, stop the people in this mission taking a survey, they'd be 95% of them couldn't even tell you how they got the candle lit. Or they'd have such a rigmarole with it, you'd have to life up your sleeve. They couldn't take it back to the Word and give you exactly the way God done it through the Word. They couldn't do it. They ain't had that Word experience. Oh my. So far, if we know that our earthly half of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God in the house, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now notice this is eternal in the heaven. But remember, your soul's eternal too. Before it ever come into manifestation, is that right? This house was eternal before it ever come in the manifestation. And this house is a word house. How many knows that? That theophany is a word house. What is your soul? See what I'm talking about? I'm trying to show you it's related, but it's a house. He uses it for a purpose. Brother Branham said when he went there, he said he could take them by the hand. He said they wasn't just a myth or a spirit, your soul out there floating around. He said he said I didn't recognize them because they changed back young. That's what he said. He said, but he said that you could feel them, you could touch them. Even his first wife come and hugged him. Is that right? He's seen his daughter and all of this. Brother Branham said, it was for real. In other words, this word house was in your very image. I mean, when you were young, he lets you wear this thing when it's you to a T. Black hair, when he seen his wife, she still had that black hair. Is that right? Right on this house.
Amen.
It's amazing, friends, how what God can do. He can take and set you out there, and absolutely, it looks like you everything, but in your young stage, you see. You know, this old woman, when she comes, Brother, that this voice asked, Brother, you know who this is? No. But remember, when Brother Branham seen her, she was old.
Amen.
When she was converted and under his ministry, she were old. But when he seen her there, she was young. And he didn't recognize her just because of the change. Can you see? She come in this word house back to her youth.
Amen.
Oh, my. God sets these things out for real, friends. But why are you going on down here? He's building something that looks like you identical. Your color of your hair, your eyes, your everything in this word form house. And he can do with all of that. Then after he gets done with that, then he can turn around and make it become your spirit realm. Put it right inside of a glorified body and make it serve something else. I tell you, God is beautiful. The way God does things is beyond human beings. It almost blows my mind because I'm mortal yet, you see. I just see it, you know, just, well, not clearly as I ought to see it, but I can understand. He says it, I believe it.
Amen.
Okay, so he's saying here now, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. So if you notice, this house is from heaven. It has to even come down from heaven because that's where it's at. It's up there. But your house is ever since that you've had a birth. Your house is right there.
Amen.
It's waiting you.
Amen.
It is waiting till just Brother Bam said, just like a baby coming here on this earth, coming through the womb of the mother. He said there was a spirit waiting for it to receive it when it was born. A body taking a spirit. He said, here you are, a spirit soul. There is a body waiting just like that baby was coming here. Spirit was waiting to get in that body. He said, when you leave here, there is a body. There is a house. And that spirit goes to that just like the spirit came to the baby here. Can you see it? God help us. All of this is so beautiful, friend. Just like it. So if the baby's going to be born, there's got to be a spirit. Is that right? They got to be a spirit to take over because he wouldn't be complete right. Brother Brown said perfection's in threes. He said you got to keep your threes. He said God uses threes. He said that's the reason why he had to use that theophany house there. And he has to have your soul and has to have the glorified. He said God's in threes. He won't work without three. Perfection is in threes. And you can't be perfected without being three. Just as beautiful then. So here we go now, coming on down. Listen to this. Clothe upon with our house which is from heaven. And if so be that we being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groaning to be burdened, not for that which we should be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might swallow up of life. Okay, I believe that's fair enough to go. Now, what I want to show you is here why we're in this house. We're groaning more or less to go to that house. So there's got to be a house. Is that right?
Amen.
Now let me read another place or two. Just lay in a few scriptures. And I want to get in a few quotes because I'm going to have to hurry now because my time is getting gone. And if we don't get through, we will come back. Okay, now watch what Brother Ben said in Ephesians, the third chapter. I maybe just want to put a scripture in here. And verse 11, we will start, I believe. Maybe a couple, three places I'll throw in the scripture. Then I want to give you some beautiful quotes. And I want to show you how Brother Ben said, remember, I'm talking about a growth. We're growing into a birth. It's a process. You're taking on sales. Anybody knows that? If we're going to build something in here, it's got to take on something. Is that right? If I'm going to build a statue of a perfect man, and that only way it can be is be word. Is that right? That statue of the perfect man is nothing but word. And what I'm doing, coming to a birth, I'm taking on word. Can you see? I'm being obedient. Remember, Jesus was obedient unto death. Is that right? And he obeyed and went right to the River Jordan. And what did the Spirit do? Recognize he was part of it. Is that right? Came into him and he came to Messiah there. And well, what we've been doing, we first become partakers of the Word by receiving the Word, becoming obedient to the Word. It's through your justification and your sanctification. Remember, your justification and sanctification is part of your birth. It's part of your birth. Never separate it. You can't separate it. It takes all three stages, don't you see? It takes justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost to constitute the new birth. You've got to have all three things or your birth cannot be complete.
Amen.
The reason a lot of people's birth is not complete, they started out, but they didn't go all the way.
Amen.
So remember, you can't just be justified and say you got a birth. There's no way. You can't be sanctified and say you got a birth. There's no way. Even though it is part of it.
Amen.
See? We're not denying the facts because that's a process that you're going through. And every bit of that is word. Justification is part of the word. Is that right? Sanctification is part of the word. The baptism of the Holy Ghost brings the entire thing into you and quicken you. And you are a sealed unit. The reason why these ages never was sealed, it never was complete.
Amen.
When God completes something, he seals it. It's a sealed unit. It's one unit. As Brother Parnell said, it's one person. It's one body. It's a sealed unit all together. See, by us getting sealed, it seals the entire unit. It brings the whole thing into the resurrection because we are the head of it. Brother Branham said, the head goes take the hands, the head goes take the eyes, the head goes take the feet. He said, at the end time, the head goes down and brings it all out. Can you see it? How beautiful it is. This is the resurrection time, and everything has to come together because there's something here calling for it to be united as one unit.
Amen.
I hope we see that. And he seals you the way he's going to seal the ages. Can you see? He didn't seal the ages until everything was in it. He's not going to seal you until you got every word of this hour in you. You got to receive every word. Then he gives you the total.
That's right.
Can you see where people's missed it? Can we see they missed it, friends? They have been taught this. They don't know nothing about this kind of teaching. They haven't said none of this kind of teaching. You go to a lot of these churches and you start teaching this, they start saying, it's like they said, what is he talking about? I never heard nothing like this. Well, I got mine when I just believed that Brother Branham was a prophet. You did? And you ain't no statue of a perfect man? You ain't got no sails? You a dead piece of goods. Something hurts you. Something wrong. And you see, they couldn't tell you no experience. If they give you any kind of experience, it's been some kind of Pentecostal concept of it. Is that right? You ask them, can I say, well, yeah, when I got it, I spoke in tongues. And that ain't what we're talking about at all. Or when I got it, I had cold chills. Or I got sanctified, I shouted my hair down. I'll never forget that night I shouted my hair down. My bobby pins had to pick them up all on the floor. I know I got it. Brother Adam said, that ain't what we're talking about at all. He said, that don't have nothing to do with it. He said, that's what Luther claimed. That's what Wesley claimed. That's what Pentecost claimed. Each one of them had some kind of experience. Is that right? And when he got done, he said, that ain't it at all. He said, that's not even what I'm talking about. All they could express is part of the word, and they might have had some, they used some kind of evidence, but up here we know what the true evidence is. We don't use any phony evidence. It shows you ain't been through the process. If you've been through the process, you know what the evidence is. It's believing every word, taking every word in. Oh, my. See, you try, I'm trying to get children to a birth. You know, there's labor and pain and agony in bringing forth a birth. Do you know Luther was part of that, like Brother Man talking about birth pains? See, Brother Man used different types now, friends, even for these fellows. He used one type, you knew where to get off. Then he'd bring them up, and you use them in another type.
Brother Man said, so you the sun, when it comes out in April, not near as hot as this, in May or June or July, he was using you as a sun, how it was coming to its maturity. Don't you see? As the word comes on. So Luther wasn't very hot at all. Is that right? That's probably about in April. Then here comes May. Wesley come on the scene. Here comes Pentecost. But Brother Branham said about July, August, the full strength of the sun, it was hot. So the whole thing started back, but he started back in Luther. And you know, that's the reason Brother Branham is saying the rapture book, Luther was part of the rapture.
You watch how he went back. He didn't go all the way back. He went back to Luther because there was seed coming out. There was sun coming back on the scene. Oh, that was part of that restoration started back. He went back to where restoration was started back. See what I'm talking about? He had to build a body back. Luther was starting that body back. The first went in through the four stages, and the second come out by four stages. We never want to forget the four stages. Brother Branham was the fourth stage. Brother Branham's ministry was not of the Son of God. Bringing all the loose ends back and everything was not of the Son of God. The fourth stage, but he brought back perfection. He brought back a perfect body. He brought back a perfect bride. She didn't like nothing. I like that.
Amen.
And it was building through Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, and Brother Branham called her to stand up.
All right.
On her feet and take notice. Look around. The body was here.
Amen.
Oh, my.
Amen.
Do you see it?
Right.
Teach this to some of the message church and see what they do. They look at you. They say, he's got me lost. That's exactly right. The reason you're lost, you ain't been taught nothing. How many knows are sitting on me that I've taught this for years? Go back and get me some of my older tapes. I knew the way that brings you to a birth. I knew it was a process. I knew you had to have mechanics right. I knew you couldn't run out on false doctrine here and false doctrine there. I was building you. I was bringing every doctrine back in line, everything in place. I was clearing up your thinking. You know what the real minister do? He's clearing up your thinking. He's getting all that thinking out of your mind, your own ideals out of your mind, getting you to die. You got to have help to die. Some people got to have a whole lot of help to die. Some people you almost got to choke them to die. Is that right? I hope you're spiritual to see. Listen, friends, it ain't easy to get some people to die. Some people almost after you wring their neck off, they still want to flop around for a while like a chicken. They say it's still alive. It just don't know it's dead. You cut his head off and it'll take a bigger shine when his head cut off did when it had it on it. You think, what's wrong? It just don't know his head's chopped off.
Oh, my.
Well, there's something about this word house. There's something about, we say we've heard from a theophany. That's right. That's exactly. If you're coming to a birth, you've heard from the theophany. I guarantee you have. If you ain't heard from your theophany, you ain't got a birth. It's simple that, because you got to realize there's something going on there. Why there's something going on here? I realize from the time I started, when I started coming to Christ through my justification and sanctification, there's something going on there. Oh my, it was bringing that thought, that eternal house into a manifestation. It was bringing it real, because when I leave here, it's already waiting me. I don't have to wait somebody to prepare. It's already fixed. It's just waiting on me. Can you see it? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad that it's been waiting on me. It's been waiting on me for quite a while. I can say, surely I've got representation. Surely I've got a theophany body there. Surely I've got one looks like me. Don't have all this gray hair. If you can only see, you say, my, look at that. But you probably wouldn't recognize me in it because you maybe didn't see me when I was young. Now my wife might. God bless her heart sitting back there. She might recognize because my wife has known me ever since I've been about probably a 14 or 15 year old boy. My wife knew me when I was wearing overalls and blue shirt to school and carrying some biscuits if I had any. I didn't buy my lunch. I didn't have no money. I was very poor. I was raised very poor. And I finally got a job enough to when they had pie suppers, I made sure I bought her pie. I don't care what it cost me. I was going to walk her home. She wasn't going to run off. If you bought the pie, you took them home. And I made sure I bought a pie. Boy, some of those fellas made me pay for it, too. They weren't going to let me buy the pie. But at that time, I had me a little boy. I started working young because I was after her. Amen. I was on her trail before she growed up. Yeah, I was. I went to school with her. She moved down. That's where she made a mistake when she come down to my little hometown.
stayed with her sister and started going to school. I said, I allowed that girl. Amen. I walked her home. She'll probably never forget that. And I was walking high. I was on my tiptoes. I thought I was a man when I was just a boy. Oh, yes. But she seen me in my younger days. She seen me before I was really molded fully. I couldn't even act like a man. I act like a little boy, but I thought I was a man. That's just the way a lot of people is today. They think they're men when they're not men. They haven't matured. They haven't grown up. They haven't followed God's instructions.
Right.
Oh, my. We must follow it. Let me hurry. And according to the eternal purpose, verse 11, 3 and verse 11, according to his eternal purpose, which he has purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit of the inward man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able. You know, a lot of people can't comprehend with nothing. A lot of people can't carry a good conversation. A lot of people can't even tell you what this message is all about.
Amen.
Now listen, friends, I believe you need to know how to handle some of the mechanics. I believe you should know how it's made you what you are. I mean, if you can't give nothing but your testimony, you know you should have a real testimony how this thing come together, what is done in your life. I believe every laity, I don't care how small you are, how big you are, you should realize how you got there. If you say, I'm going to go to Chicago and you don't even know how you got there, you need to know what route you took to get there.
Yeah.
If somebody tells you how you got to Chicago, you should say, give them the route and everything, and you took it right in on Main Street.
Yeah. You know
where you come from. Is that right? And say, I left Dayton, Ohio, and I went this way, and I made it there. I'm going to tell you, I started from somewhere, but you know where I ended up at in eternity. Yes, sir. I know what happened. I know something caught me. I know this message is tracked in my heart. And I know I said yes to it. And I was justified. He picked me up. But that wasn't enough. I kept walking with him. And I went through a process of sanctification. I was listening. I was in tune. And God was giving me word all the time. He was giving me the mechanics. From the time he picked me up with the mechanics, and he used the mechanics on me until I got a birth.
Amen.
The birth came in on the mechanics. Can you say amen? I could not get a birth without the mechanics. Brother Bandon said the Holy Ghost rides in on the word. Is that right? If you don't receive the word, you can't receive the Holy Ghost. It rides in on the mechanics. The mechanics of the dynamic becomes one unit. Is that right?
Amen.
So we're not dead oracles, we're living oracles of God. Is that right?
Amen.
One more place. Ephesians 4, jump right over here. Verse 12. For the perfection of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now this is what it's all about, the ministry. The ministry for this. How thankful we are to be for the ministry. Sometimes we take it for granted. Sometimes you would take me or Parnell or any of the other brothers. Remember, they've labored and suffered and went through many things to come to the place they have to help you.
Amen.
See, they haven't only done it just for themselves. They had a ministry, and they knew the ministry was for the body. See, ever since I've had a true revelation of what the true ministry is, I knew my life and everything was a gift to the body. I knew that from the time I started, it was a gift to the body. And I've told my wife many times when she would say, where you been so long and why ain't you been home? Why ain't you been there? I said, honey, I have a ministry. And my ministry to the body. I don't run off and leave the body. If the body needs me, then I have to give myself to the body. Is that right? I've got to talk to people. I've got to handle things. They got problems and they need to talk to me. It's desperate that they do. And I can't just run off and say, well, I've got a wife at home. No, sir. My my ministry, my life is to the body. Even before her, in a sense, I've got to give it to God. A lot of people don't do that, but listen, friends, if it's a real ministry, you put God first. Is that right? I have to put God over my family, over everything. That don't mean I'm neglecting them. They've got the role to play, and I'll bring them in, but I'm going to put God first. My ministry is a gift to the body, and I must use it for the perfecting of the body. Must bring it to the place so I can't run off and do my own thing. You know, sometimes my house would like to run off. You know, sometimes maybe some food's going on and they're preparing a dinner and somebody capture me. Why, many times I've had that happen. And going, and the dinner's got cold and I got chewed out because I wasn't there. And where you been and what's going on? And all the time I was putting God first. And in the natural was around me, chewed me out and made me feel bad, feel like I didn't care for him. And the only thing I was doing is putting God first. So we go through a lot of hardship. We're misunderstood. Is that right? So remember, any part of this fivefold ministry puts God first. And wives, you must understand that. You must be able to let him go. Look at Sister Branham, how she had to suffer and do without Brother Branham, almost raised the kids by herself. Look what a hardship it was. But she done it because she realized that Brother Branham's ministry was out there and not home. And she sacrificed, and she'll have her reward. Wives, when you sacrifice your husband, now don't be jealous of him and don't want to share. Have an understanding that he helped somebody. If he's got to walk up and the woman walks up to him, don't think all he's got his eyes on is a woman. I've seen this so much, you know, when you've got to deal with women. And thank God my wife ain't that jealous. She's jealous enough, but she ain't that. She don't ever try to hang me. She understands because I've been, you know, an old timer, been a minister for years, and she kind of got used to it. That I have to talk to women. They walk up, they have a right to walk up to me, same as anybody else. They have a right to ask me things. I have a right to take them in office. Them. If it's closed doors, I need to talk to them. I'm not back there flirting with them. I'm not back there carrying on with them. I can tell you, saints of God, I've got sisters here. Have I ever approached any of you? Have I ever showed myself like I was trying to flirt with any of you? Have you ever one time ever seen me do it? No, sir. I don't do it. I respect you to the highest. And I never want to do it. I've got a wife. And I want you to be able to trust me that I could go in the back room with you and I ain't going to make eyes at you or flirt with you. And not one time any of you don't believe you'd ever point a finger and say that I've ever done. I respected you as a sister in Christ. But the devil will howl. The devil will do these things. But I can't help that. I'm just trying to tell you, I've got sisters here, and I know I don't have them brainwashed. They're telling you that Anna have ever approached you with any way. Sandy, I've talked to you many times. I've approached you in any way. I remember what Sandy told me. She said, Brother Childers, when I was out there, I don't think she cares for me telling this. And many of the pastors and everything try to make love and flirt with her or make passes at her in that way. And when she come here, she said she had a kind of fear, afraid I would try to approach her and things like that. But she said, I come to a place, Brother Childers, you ain't never done it. She said, I can trust you. And I know you ain't going to do it. You ain't going to try to do those things. And now I can come to you with confidence and faith. Knowing that you're my pastor, you're going to do what's right. You're going to tell me the truth. Is that right, Sandy? Why? Over the years, being proven, being the man of God. But you'll never satisfy the devil. But I ain't worried about that. Say, black your name. Go ahead and black it. I ain't going to spend all my time trying to correct my name. And I usually don't even say what I've said here. That's right. Church knows I don't do that. I don't know if you ever heard me bring it out just a second like that. But I'm just trying to be honest this morning. I'm trying to show you this morning. Friends, I'm not in it to play. I'm in it and I respect you to the highest. So I don't want you sisters, if you have to talk to me and we'll say, well, go back to all of us. I don't want you to all fear and nervous and everything. Friend, I'm going to approach you. God forbid I'd ever do it. I'd want him to smack me good. Amen, because I love you. I'm looking at you, and I know that you want to talk to me for a purpose, and I know it's a need, and I know I must give time to it, and my wife must understand. Amen. Is that right? If it didn't, then we'd be a fuss all the time. But said so much for that. Okay, now without reading anymore, but the 13th verse I want to read, till we all come to the unity. Now, friends, This unity is very much needed in the body. We don't want to overlook this, and that there'll never be this unity without the ministry. And I mean, it's got to be word ministry. It's got to be a true ministry. You'll never bring the body to this unity of this faith without the minister themselves having the full understanding of their day and their hour. That's the reason why when I see a man like Parnell, I don't know how to highly tell him how much I respect him, of seeing that he's yielded himself to the revelation. He's listened. He's had respect for me. And by that, God's honored it. Not so much that I'm anything in the sense, but it's the truth that lays in me. If you want to get it, have respect and watch God. He'll honor that and he'll help your ministry and bless it. Well, I've seen Parnell and he's got a gifted ministry and it edifies me. It really helps me. And I love somebody can, you know, minister back where I can sit back and my just flowing, you know, like a stream coming down on you. And I know I'm in the right place then. I can say that's the right stream. Listen to the sound of it. And water has a certain roar. I see it coming. I said, that's right from heaven. Then I can just bathe in it, don't you see, and get refreshed in it. And I can go, it even helps an old man. Even though I've been in the revelation for years, friends, this revelation don't get old. It's just as fresh as it was the first day it was poured out on me. And when I can get in order somebody that's caught the same revelation, I said, thank God for that man, because he's died somewhere to have it. He didn't get him to hold his head in the air. He's had to go into his closet. He's had to stay away. He's had to suffer many things. And he's been rejected by many. Amen. You know the reason a lot of people don't have it? Can't stand rejection. Can't stand the squeeze. Can't stand the pressure. Oh, they couldn't jump out on something because their fellow man don't believe it. I've watched this over years, friends. You don't know how much I've seen. I'm talking about even real men. I'm talking about men that's got a seed in them. I mean, can't die hardly. Run, run. Because they've got certain fellows holding them up. And they know if they come out, they lose him. And they can't stand to lose. You've got to come to the place you will give up anything. I don't care if you lose it all. I don't care if my friends, everybody leaves me. I'm going to pay the price. I'm going to identify with anything quickly. I ain't going to worry my head off and be beat over the head and everything and have to come to it somewheres. And after a while, God almost had beat them to it. They went through hardship after hardship. They've been better off to throw their hands up. Long time ago, I've seen many true men just because of the price, they want to run from it. They want to keep it down. And you know what? You'll never help your congregation if you don't sow the seed. How you going to help a congregation when you're almost afraid to tell them because you don't want to get out on you? I don't care if it get out on me. I've always let it out on me. I help it get out because I want to get it over. You've got to watch because you try to hold in Satan to play games with you. You might as well just get it on out in the open and say, Satan, you can't do nothing with me now. I've already uncovered myself.
Right.
I told them who I am.
Amen.
How many times I preached to congregation and knew they never want me back. How many times I witnessed this message, I knew the pastor was going to turn me off and say, ooh, watch Brother Childers. I remember when Brother Mike Siever said, oh, brother, I can't really let you preach because of my congregation. In other words, brother, they just can't receive your revelation. I said, oh, Brother Mike, you don't have to worry about that. I'm not that hard up. I've got people that loves me I can preach to that it don't bother them a bit, so don't worry yourself about it. If it bothers your congregation, I mean, I understand you. I know you love me and all, and I have respect for that. Don't put yourself in hardship. I'm not that hard up. I go down here and find me a black church in Dayton. I don't have to worry about it. They'll receive it better than your congregation will. Ain't it a shame? In this message, they can't even receive it. Listen, I preached in many denominations. Church was much better off than they were. So I'm just telling you, friends, I've come through it all. Some of them say, well, I can't let you preach, but I love you, and I believe you're a man of God, but just your revelation. It just don't help my congregation. Well, thank God. Go ahead and stop feeding them the creed. I ain't got nothing to the word. If it kills them, then you don't want them to die, then go ahead. Oh, but I come through it all, friends, but I paid to get where I'm at.
Amen.
Now to hurry. It's already gone. But let me throw in a couple of quotes I know will help you. Then we'll come back and pick it up sometime. There's two quotes since I'm on this. Questionates book number 4. And God's only provided place of worship two real good quotations I would like to bring to you if I don't get the rest of them. And we'll come back on this. How many is enjoying this?
Amen.
How many see them that it takes mechanics in this proper order to bring you to a birth? It's got to have somebody can lead you right through your justification, your sanctification, and come to the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. You've got to have somebody that has an understanding of the mystery of this hour, of the word for this hour, to bring you to that birth, or you'll never get there. You'll never get there. You'll never get there on your own, because I just read you, this fivefold ministry is for the perfecting of the saints. So you cannot perfect yourself. You're perfected through the word. How many knows that? See, that's the reason why we should thank God. And anytime you find a true ministry, respect it to the highest. Respect it to the highest. Question answer book number 4, page 238, down to the bottom of the page. Listen to what Brother Branham's saying here now. We're talking about 2 Corinthians. And then we'll talk about the birth groin. Now watch what Brother Branham said here. This is a dying spirit in a dying body. But now you cannot have two bodies at the same time. Did you hear him? He said, this is a dying spirit in a dying body. Now, we know that our spirit, I'm telling you, our spirit's got to break up. Brother Bram said, even the spirit that we have, it's a dying spirit. It's got to break up. It's got to go back somewhere where it come from. We know that. So you'll never take this spirit cross on the other side. Before you go on the other side, you've got to change. Don't you see? So somewhere we got to let this spirit go, and it goes back and it breaks up. And then Brother Branham said, it's a dying spirit in a dying body. Do we realize this is a dying body?
Amen.
And it's also a dying spirit. There's two of you there that God can't use. Now watch as we go on here now. Watch what he says. And you can't have two bodies at the same time, but there can be two natures in you at the same time. Now, the nature of the Spirit of the Lord when you are born again. He said, the nature of the Spirit of the Lord when you're born again, you're not born of a physical like the baby was. But what happened? The spiritual birth has to come to you. And why this spiritual birth is growing into you. Did you get that? I want you to get that. This spiritual birth is growing. There's something growing inside of you. Other words, it's like a development. You see, you're something building. You're coming more to the Word. And that's what Brother Bam was talking about. Come to the statue. It's becoming that Word. And a lot of people don't think you can do it before you're born again. See, this is where they're at. But you got to realize God is dealing with you and using you and building a word body in you before you're born again. Is that right? And there's where your tutoring comes in at. There's where your justification and sanctification coming in. It is doing something. It is playing a role. And it's very needed. And if you don't come through these ways, you can't get it. Brother Branham said, you can't bypass either step. See, a lot of people think they can bypass. He said, that's the trouble of the denomination. Let them try to bypass sanctification and just go from a justification to the baptism. That's two works of grace, people. You see, you can't do that. You've got to follow it in order. It's got to come that way. It's playing a role. Sanctification is part of the Word. It's part of building that statue in you. Now watch what he says. Coming on down here, he says, now what happened? The spiritual birth has to come to you. And while this spiritual birth is growing in your heart of God, there is a celestial body. Now that's what Paul called it. That's a word for him, body. Paul called it a celestial body. And this is a terrestrial body. See, two bodies there. He's showing you. Then he talked about the glorified body. Is that three? Is that three? Three bodies. Brother Branham taught it to a T, showing you it all runs in the Scripture. So Brother Branham said here, a celestial body growing to receive that Spirit. Growing. Their celestial body, a word form body, is growing to receive what? Your nature, your soul. You see, now it's a spirit man. Your soul is a spirit being.
All right.
How many knows that? And there's a body growing to receive that spirit or your soul when you leave here. When this terrestrial sheds off, then you're going to the celestial.
Amen.
That's why Brother Branham said you won't be a spirit floating around in the air. He said, thank God when I went beyond the curtain of time, he got straightened out. He said, they are for real.
Amen.
Oh, my. Listen to what he says here now. Celestial body growing to receive that spirit, and when that life leaves this body, see, it goes to that body. Isn't that beautiful? It goes to that body just as when the body is present on earth. Just like the body, the baby, comes on down when it's present on earth. The body, it goes to that body. Just as when the body is present to the earth, the spirit comes in. You know, like a baby comes out of the womb of the mother, it's got to take up the spirit somewhere. Spirit's waiting on it. You know how Brother Bam said the mother could never be ever so cruel, and all but just before the baby is born, she becomes sweet. He said, what's the matter? There's a life, there's a spirit waiting around, and the mother can even feel that, waiting for that baby to be delivered. That spirit's right there, ready to come in, and it even has effect on the mother. Takes all that cruelness out of her. I don't care how mean and defiled she is. Just before the baby's born, she becomes sweet and present and tender, lovely. Why, there's a little spirit of life.
Amen.
Is right around waiting for that body to be delivered to take it over.
All right.
We all know that. It has to be that way. Is that right? Where are you going to pick it up at? You didn't get it in the womb. You got it after you got it out of the womb. Can you see it? Even in tight. Can you see everything in tight? You didn't get it in the womb. You got it after you got out of the womb.
Amen.
Naturally or spiritually.
Huh?
I hope you get my point. Can you see it?
Right.
So they say they got it in the womb. You get it out of the womb. You can't beat your types. Oh, Lord. Just as when the body is present on earth, the spirit comes in. And when the spirit goes out of that body, there is a body waiting. Is that what Paul said? Is this earthly tabernacle? Was this how we have one waiting? Eternal in the heavens. And it's been growing while you was growing down here. It was growing up there. Isn't that a beautiful sight? Is it beautiful to know that? If I'm going through a process of a birth down here, there's something going on up there. There's got to be a body. Because when I leave, I'm not going to be floating around. I'm going to be on the curtain of times. I'm going up there with the rest of them. I'm going to have me a good time. Is that right? I'm going to be for real, just as real they are. Is that right? Beautiful, beautiful. Boy, I tell you, Brother Branham got into something, didn't he? Ain't it beautiful? Listen what he says. Give me a few more minutes, then we'll let you go. He says, and that spirit comes, and when that spirit goes out, that body, there is a body waiting. For we know after our earthly tabernacle, which he went back to 2 Corinthians. Because he said, we had to be waiting. For we know that after our earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. See, that's it, the spiritual body of the people. The spiritual body of the people. In other words, when he went there, that's what he seen.
Amen.
The spiritual body of the people. It was a word form, identical, had every, their looks, their eyes, their colors, and everything was in that word form body.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. God's only provided place of worship. Page 4, that's when he went beyond the curtain of time. Listen to what he said now, just to go along with this right here. Page 4, Brother Branham says, let me see where I want to start at. Okay. 21st paragraph, right down next to the bottom of the page, in case somebody would get the book. He said, be thankful. He said, a part of it, dear friends, the dear Lord Jesus, whom trust me to tell you the truth, the dear Lord Jesus, one morning about 8 o'clock, let me see that land. Now watch, he's going to tell you about that land. Same thing I was reading you here. Let me see that land. Now, it wasn't a vision. But he said, I don't want to say that. Because you know how people get it. But I don't want to say that. Whatever it was, what it was just as real as I am speaking to you here.
Right.
He said, now I've seen the faces of those people. Now, see, I seen the face of those people, and I could not recognize them. They had turned back young again.
Amen.
Can you see it? They had turned back young again. I could not recognize them. They was just as real. See, he was trying to make us see that they wasn't just a myth. They was real. Okay, listen. I hold their hands and things just as real. I help their hands, just as real. I remember one time that I came in this message, and one of the sisters had studied a whole lot. She was telling me back then, I never forget it, that this theophany you couldn't handle, you couldn't see, and you didn't have no hands, and you know. And that later on, I found out Brother Bannon held their hands. In other words, it was more real than she thought it was. Don't you see? Brother Branham made it just as real as your body here. That's the way he made it. And he made it for looks and everything else. He drawed a picture that you wouldn't be confused. It was real. It was you. Oh, Lord. Listen to what he says here now. And he said, it helped me. It helped me when he went to that land and seen that, because I used to have an ideal when a person died, they're just their soul went off. But then when he quoted that to me, now the scripture, 2 Corinthians, when he quoted that, remember up to that time, Brother Branham did not see this. Now he preached all these years and did not see 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter that we're talking about. But look how he dealt with it after that. Look how he told us after that in his later message. Look in 1964, that question and answer book, how he told us you can't have two bodies, but you can have two natures. He went through the thing thoroughly. Here he's telling us. Listen to what he says right here. He says, but when he quoted that to me, that if this earthly tabernacle of this habitation, we already have one. Now he said, whatever this voice was, quoted that scripture to him, making it real to him. He said, and we've got to have everything in threes. Now watch that, Brother Bram, bringing everything back to the scripture. He seen right quick everything had to be in threes. Three here, three over there. Boy, his mind began to wonder. He wanted to put this thing together. The Holy Spirit put it together for him. Everything's in threes. He said, to make perfection. See, there's one body here, and then that body there. Watch how he's counting it. Which is the celestial. See, body, and then the glorified body. There's your three. See how he brings that? Then the glorified body, which, he said, glorified body, in the resurrection. See, that makes the complete. See, hey, that makes complete. So it is. It's not just a myth. It's not just an ideal. It's not just a spirit. It's a man and a woman just like you are. Oh, my. It's a man and a woman just like you are. See how real Brother Branham made him? You know, people in this mess still don't make. You know, a lot of people don't know about this. A lot of people never even taught about this. And you know, they talk back going there and they don't even realize. But you're going there to a house, it's you. And it's been prepared to receive you. It's been growing while your birth. I don't know how long your birth's been going on, but there's been something growing there too. And that was word too. That was eternal. It was an attribute of God, a thought of God, just like your seed or your sop. But you had to come here, a manifestation. So that thing has been growing there, and it's a word house, just like you've been growing into a birth. Now, how many understand a birth is a growth now?
Amen.
You don't just jump into it. You see, like a lot of preachers say, you don't just say, I believe and I've got it. Brother Bam said, you stopped short. He said, many believe, you know, and accept Jesus Christ and don't go on to receive the Holy Ghost. And he said, they say they've got it, but he said they stopped short of Pentecost. You must go to Pentecost. You must have a Pentecost and experience even the day. See, because we're going back to Pentecost, and Brother Branham said, you've got to have an experience for your day and your hour, which is a word experience. That's what they had in the upper room. That's what they had. Not some sensation. Didn't even have emotion. It was a word experience. Is that right? So I'm closing now because my time is gone. I had some other books that go in, but we can come back on. It's just a man and a woman, just like you are, just exactly. He said, just exactly. Now I could go on, but that's enough there. So God bless you. I'll give you the pages. There's the two books, but I did have things that are to be. I had the seed not heard, but the shock. Then I did have souls in prison, but we did you get the point? Did you get the point? That's the whole thing. God bless you. Growing, a process. Never forget it, saints. And when you're dealing with people in this message, you must deal with them as it's a process. If you don't do that, you'll cut them short. You don't just tell them, accept the message of the hour and they got it. No. No, that's wrong. See, that's where many people, many ministers in this message, well, you accept Brother Branham or you accept the message of the hour and that puts you in. No, he don't put you in. He don't have no grandchildren. And the one way to get in is exactly the way the first one got in is the way you to get in. Your children and all has got to go through a process. You can't just accept them in and all that. No, that don't do it. They go through a process. So every one of us goes through a process. It's a growing process. Now, I can understand. Can you understand, Parnell? A growing process. I can see that. And there's something been going on in us for a long time before we come to birth. And I'm glad even when he picked me up, he started it. I mean, in a sense, trying to bring it into manifestation. Don't you see? Eternal life is all back here because of an attribute of God. But we're talking about coming into manifestation. And a word man, Brother Branham, in other quotation, he tell you a building. It's word around word, word around. It's a body inside of you. It's a man inside of you. It's a statue of a perfect man. And there's something been going on for weeks and weeks and weeks. And it all comes back. By the word, and there's a man building in you a celestial, eternal house, not a house, but the soul. And from that, it's building word around word until it builds a person.
Amen.
A person of the word.
Amen.
See? And from there, then, when Brother Bam said, death in this house takes you to that house. And now we understand that that house had to be prepared just like coming through a birth here. Don't you see? I understand that. Did all the church get that? So see, so then you would have to hear from your theophany. See, when, in other words, when you recognize this day, it showed that you had one. Don't you see? And that's what Brother Bam is saying. You've heard from your theophany. Because if you caught your day and seen that you were predestinated and part of this, that's hearing from your theophany. You don't have to tell nobody. You got one. You got one. There will be a house to receive you. So don't worry about dying and going off just being a spirit or just a myth out here. No. Brother Branham said it for real. And when he went back on the curtain of time, if you notice Brother Branham, he never was the same. Now, even the other messages, you'll find him. This done something to Brother Branham. This changed his entire life. This took a fear of death out of him. You know, he seen it for so real. He was even almost afraid dying. Because Brother Branham liked spirits. He didn't. There's something that set with Brother Branham too good about spirits. He thought, boy, going up and meeting Mother Neville's up there, you know, and him being a spirit, it made Brother Branham fear. There's something about just spirits he didn't like, you see. But when he found out for real, he never feared about dying no more.
Amen.
He's willing to go there. In fact, when he went there, he didn't want to come back. Don't you see? He didn't want to come back. He found it was a real place, friends. Do you know he'd had to step out of this house? We all know that. He left this house and went right there. Got right into that theophany house of his. I mean, that's celestial. Why he had to got into it? How could he handle them? And in hand, never they had be what they were. You don't do it another way. That's why Brother Branham couldn't call it a vision. But he had, you know, he started to say, well, it's not a vision anymore. Didn't say, listen, friend, he had a translation. He absolutely said, even look back. If you want to read the rest of it, he left his hands behind him. Look back, right up there, look back and seen himself laying on the bed just exactly where he left himself. And when he come back, his hand was still behind him. His body was laying there just exactly where he left it. He went out of here.
Amen.
He left this. That's why Paul said in the body, out of the body, I can't tell you. But he said that somebody took a trip. See, I couldn't even call it vision. That was more than a vision. That was reality. Brother Brand didn't want to blow a lot of people's mind, but that's what he was trying to tell us. He was trying to say, friends, listen. Did you hear him? He said, face to face with them. Hugged them. He said, handle them. Face to face. In other words, he was there, friends. Oh, my. So, let me say this in closing. If you were here, you don't fully know that this process has went on in your life, then what you need to do is say, Lord, help me with the mechanics. Help, let the ministry lay this out to me the correct way that I come to God. Through justification, sanctification, dying to myself, dying to all my creeds, unloading everything. As Brother Branham said, you got to unload to take on. Some of us mentioned that, you know. That's right. Brother Branham said you can't take on a thing until you unload something. So any time that you take on more of God means you're going to load something. Now that's right, friends. I believe that with all my heart. I believe our walk has been unloading, laying this down, laying that down. Saying, this don't help me no more. I've come to a place, do you know there's a lot of things not even laid to our charge? A lot of things he let you buy with for years. And all of a sudden, you can't do it no more. Now, friends, that can happen very, very, very much. That can happen. And it's not even charged to you until God says, can't do it no more. And they might have been for a reason that you cared a certain thing. And all of a sudden, he said, you can't do that no more. So why? Now you know better. Light has come. Friends, God is leading you to higher heights and a deeper depths in God. And going up that road, there'll be things that you'll have to shake, that you maybe didn't shake right to start with. Many people's had little things of the world, little things maybe God let them buy for a while, you know. I don't know what all. I don't use law, but I'm not much for a lot of this world entertainment, you know, and stuff. I'm not much for that. A lot of people likes movies, and a lot of people likes a lot of things, and it takes their time, and maybe even God might even let you buy with it for a while. But after a while, I said, stop it. Stop it. You don't need it, your spiritual son. It's not helping you any. Somebody's got their eyes on you. Somebody's looking at you. You're a manifestation of the Word of God. Now stop everything. Just let me reflect out through you fully. So there's somebody that don't understand what you're doing. It's hurting. Shake it. As Paul said, if meat offend my brother, I won't eat meat. See what I mean? Certain things come along you maybe wouldn't bother, but a certain person you approach and it brought something bad and it didn't look good and they got offended. And just because of that, you denied yourself. God said, just lay it down. Just quit it. Oh, we're not used to those things, but I believe that, friends. I believe God all the way through and can bring us to deeper depths in Him. And you say, well, I've been born again or I've been saved all these years. That don't make no difference. God telling you now. This is the hour. This is the time. He might let you with the movies. I never watched much for movies anyhow, so I couldn't preach that. I couldn't use that. Ain't my weakness. A lot of people got weakness of movies. They really have. They love a movie. They think got to have a movie every once in a while. They couldn't live.
Amen.
Well, I can't live with one. They bother me. And facts about it, I don't even get interested. I just go to sleep. There's a sound or something just makes me sleepy. I eat a bag of popcorn and fall asleep if I'd go to one. I remember years ago, my wife and different one, you know, we'd go to the drive-ins. Oh, I ain't been a movie in years, friends. But I don't want to be critical of somebody else. Maybe God might let you buy with it for a while. But I'm going to tell you, friends, most of the movies I don't think are doing you any good. I think you go home worse off than you was before you went. Now, I'm being honest with you. But you let God direct you. But I'm just trying to say there's many things. I look at us through this life, friends. Anything we can lay off to have a closer walk with God, it's going to be worth it. Now, I believe that. Believe that with all my heart. And many things that might take away from your house and everything. But what is your house anyhow? See, what is your desires in the house? You don't want to cater to that. He that walketh after the flesh. See? So we're not walking after the flesh. We're walking after the Spirit. We're not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. We're denying it, crucifying the mortal, all the deeds in the body. Die to it. Deny it. I'm saying we're going to a place. Friends, we're going to a place. If you ever got there one time, you wouldn't want to come back either. And that's where we're going if the Lord don't tarry. I mean, very much longer, a lot of us will maybe go to that house first. I don't know. See, that's what I'm thinking. Brother Brown talked about it, he went there. Is that right? Many of us might have to go to that house first and then bring that house back with us. Do you know they'll come right back, Parnell, with that house right down to the grave? I mean, right down here to earth? Oh, yes, they will. They'll come right back. Brother Branham said they'll come right back, and that body will unite that glorified right here on earth. They won't leave it and come down here and get the glorified. They bring it right with them. It's going to be a beautiful sight because it's in another dimension anyhow. Everybody couldn't see it. They'll come right back. In that celestial house, right back when God speaks first from the dust, it'll unite right there. What a glory sight.
Amen.
And here we are with this model house. We'll be changed and go into that dimension and spend 30, 40 days with them and go up to unite with their theophany. That's the teaching of Brother Branham's. So your theophany takes the place of your spirit realm. Your spirit realm breaks up.
Amen.
It goes back to God who gave it. It's a dying spirit. God don't need it. He gave it to you in a time thing here. See, to be three, while there's time going on, when time fully runs out for you, I'm talking about the house and all, when the full redemption comes, you won't need that spirit that took you over when you was born down the womb. That spirit will leave. Isn't it beautiful? I thank God for the truth. And see, this should help us to come to this word birth. Can you see why it's called a word birth? The entire thing. And I had other quotations, but can you see how Martin Luther was a part of that word? He was like the part of that statue coming back. See, building the statue. Brother Bam said the seed went in. The bride seed went in. The seed on the day of Pentecost, that was the bride, perfect bride. First bride and last bride. Remember, Brother Branham said it was the same. That perfect bride went in. I mean, in seed form, it went in. And it was ordained to come back, and it can't start back out through Luther. That's why he included Luther in the resurrection, and that's why he included Luther trying to show us that he was part of the rapture of the resurrection coming back out. Brother Branham said, in Christ, the mystery of God revealed, I believe page 30, he said Luther was part of the rapture. Wesley was part of the rapture. The prophets were part of the rapture. And Christ, the Word, is the rapture.
Amen.
The full Word. He was trying to show, but they was part of it because they's part of the Word.
Amen.
See what I'm talking about? He's trying to show you. They's part of it. He said they's part. But then when he come to the full Word that Brother Branham brought, that Christ, the Word, was the rapture. So how could we say the rapture with Christ, the Word, the rapture is here? See, and then if it's in you, then the rapture set in. Can you see what I'm saying? I'm trying to show you it's a process. Even the rapture is a change of this body is a process. Now, you know that. It's just like coming into birth. Now we're going from a birth to this, change of this. See, and that's a process. So the whole thing, even from the time of justification, it was a process coming to a manifestation of the Word itself. Then from there, going to the resurrection is another process. So everything's in a process, and we're fulfilling certain things to do something else over here. And so here us going now from a birth to the change of this body, there is something taking place, and even the dead in between that time somewhere has to come out because it's one unit. Can you see? One unit. And that's what Brother Bam said in the token now. One unit. Never forget that. We all go together. That's why Brother Bam couldn't separate us. We all have to unite here. And I had that book call it. See, there is going to be a visible unit. Now, a lot of people got messed up in this because he called both of them marriage. He called the marriage here, married here, and the supper there. But he also called in that glorified body, meeting him in air, a marriage. In a visible form, don't you see? And then going to see. So that's scripture. All of it's scripture. See, I don't see any contradiction, but a lot of people in this message does try to confuse them. They say, no marriage here, the marriage there. But Brother Bam called this marriage. We all know our union is the marriage, uniting. And so we unite with the Son of Man, the Word itself, here. Then the next uniting Brother Brown put was the dead together, because by us uniting with the Word, then they bring on another uniting. And that uniting brings on another uniting. Don't you see? Everything is free. So we unite with the dead, Brother Brown said, here on earth, and spend 30 or 40 days like the first resurrection. Then we go up to the third uniting, Brother Brown said, and meet him in the mid-hour to unite in a glorified form, and we will be like him. I'm talking about the same form, visible form, and we unite, and union. go to the supper, see, in the glorified form. So there's three unitings, and Brother Bam is trying to show them, and never since the early age of the days of Paul up to now was a pillar of fire ever seen two prophets. And never was a pillar of fire on the scene. And he said, and it only was made possible when he sent down the seven seals and those seven angels down. See, and to bring back that scattered word, don't you see, in them denominating, and tie it all back into the word again, he said, to bring down the Holy Spirit. See how perfect everything is. The mechanics comes first, just like the body comes first, we're saying, and it was a perfect body, and we can become that, then the dynamics come. That's what Brother Bam is showing us in United Times and Signs. So God bless you. So get those books. It'll help you. There's nuggets in there. It's always helped me. And Brother Bam showed us very, very much. And without Malachi 4, we could have never had the uniting. See, the Son of God, age, had to bring back the full restoration. Can you see it? See, and then we had to unite. So William Branham worked in a small measure as the Son of God, see, getting all the word back. And that's what he said in his quotation. Holy Spirit's been bound for almost 2,000 years. Even himself, starting for the first pull and second pull, wasn't under the Son of God. See, dispensation. See, Son of God. That office was still in effect up till he brought the Son of Man on the scene and introduced the Son of Man. Then that office, no longer, that office faded out, just like you have the Holy Ghost. It's a temporary gift. It's a temporary thing until a certain time. God bless you. God bless you. I hope you enjoyed it, and it'll help us. And then when you're cornered, you know, and this ministry's got to know how to bring the people to a real birth. I can see, I've said normal ministries could never bring people to birth. I know that. See, they didn't have the revelation themselves. How can... Now, friends, whether you know it or not, it's important to have this revelation. It's important for you to sit on a ministry that has this revelation. Because there's no other way that you can come to life outside by the proper teaching of this word. See, God's got an ordained way, and he won't bypass it for nothing. You just don't come here and say, I accept the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe what Brother Childers says. No, you've got to follow this process. You've got to absolutely come through this process yourself, every individual. You must unite. You must come to unite with the Son of Man. Brother Branham said, can you unite? I said, sure. I said, what is it? He says, the word.
Amen.
Get in the United Times. That's what I say, United Times. See, he was saying something. She goes, I have sight to the seals. He was trying to say, what are you going to unite to? He said, the word, which is the Spirit.
Amen.
He said, unite in time. He's here. The word is here.
Amen.
Unite. He'd already introduced him. The Son of Man come on the scene. And that's when, but then Brother Branham said, he'd decrease and he'd increase. There come a time that Brother Branham's ministry had paid out. But then the Son of Man ministry took over, and that's what we unite and come a union with. The invisible union is with He Himself.
That's right. That's
the
first
one.
Amen.
Oh, man. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. Sing it to Him. Thank you. We truly thank you, Lord, again. Thank you for your true sayings. Thank you for every mechanic that you brought, Lord. Without the word coming back, the loose ends being tied together, we can never come to that statue of that perfect man. That's why the prophet could say, just pile word on top of word, take word on word, until you become the statue of that perfect man. Lord, we see now the need of the two ministries that we taught last Sunday. We see the importance of it, Lord. Without the teaching rain, we could have no latter rain. But now, since the teaching rain has come, then the latter rain followed. And that's exactly what Brother Ram was talking in Uniting Times and Sign when he set the seven angels down to tie all the loose ends together to bring down the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we was taught the seventh seal was the coming of the Lord. Six seals tied all the word back, brought every doctrine back, everything to its perfect order. Then the Holy Spirit followed. Oh, that we could have a real union. Not just part word, but all of the word. The full word's been born into manifestation again. Now we can understand what the prophet said, Revelation 10, born the word into full manifestation again, as same as it was when it was here, embodied in the Lord Jesus. Now it's embodied in this bride in its fullness. We're not short. It's the word. It's the seventh seal being quickened, and it's living in us. The rapture, the coming of the Lord has come. The unite with the body, you're here. And the prophet said, when you leave, you take the body with you. Oh, Father, thank you for the work that's been done. Thank you for Malachi 4, dedicating his life, giving his life, separating himself from his family, taking it to the end of all the world, hiding in dens and caves, seeking you for the true revelation, denying his own self, just like the fivefold ministry has to do now. We have to deny our own selves over top of our natural things. We have to give first to you because we realize we've been a gift to the body just as the prophet was a gift to this body of this age. Oh, Lord, don't let us try to put ourselves in. Don't let us be selfish. But let us die that others may live. Without a debt to ourselves, we can never help nobody else. Let us die. Let us truly die. Then after that, let us die daily. That God can be manifested out through these houses. Die to our own little leading of the flesh would want us to lead us here and there. Let us die. Let the Holy Spirit have full control. Call to this house every day, Lord. Put me in order. Rebuke me every time that it tries to take one step out. Oh, how bad I need the leadership. Oh, how important it is to follow the leadership. As the prophet said, what a fatal mistake it was. They rejected the leadership. Oh, Lord, let us receive that leadership. So the leadership confronts every one of us now. It's He Himself. It's the Lord of glory. He in spirit form, and He confronts every one of us. We can say it's here now. The head of the body is here, leading us back to where we come from. Don't let us fail it, Lord. Let us surrender. Let us commit ourselves. We're just one unit now. We're going back, Lord. We realize that. I feel that within myself. We're not separate. We're not divided. We're not twain no longer. There's been a union. It's not a courtship now. The courtship was down through the ages. Luther, Wesley, Pentecost was in a courtship. But this is no longer a courtship. This is united with the Son of Man. Help us, Lord, to have this union. Let the whole unit be sealed in. That's why the cap couldn't be put on to this age. Because it wasn't complete. It took Malachi 4 to complete it. Then the capstone come down. Oh, Lord, wake us up. Open our blinded eyes that we may understand the real truth. Bless Brother Parnell, the true ministry, Lord, Brother Shannon, and those that has closed themselves off, that has went back into the Word of God, sought you with tears in their eyes, consecrated and dedicated themselves to the cause. Said, Lord, where you lead me, I'll follow. I'll be true to you. Let us surely appreciate the true ministry. Brother Nate, oh, my right-hand man, I appreciate Brother Nate so much, Lord. Oh, I could never give him enough kind words. How he stood by me and took so much off of me, Lord. I don't know what I'd done without him, but you know what we need in the proper time. And you sent it in when the other, every other minister walked out and left me. Brother Nate rose up and stood by my side. If I could ever say a word or help him in any way, Lord, I'd want to do it. Because we are helpers and keepers of one another. We don't want to be like Cain, but we want to be like Abel. We want to have the right love and the right revelation and be concerned. He was concerned for Cain, but Cain wasn't concerned for him. That's just the way it is in this age. False church, carnal church. One that has no revelation, one with a revelation. One is against the other because of lack of an understanding. But Lord, let this understanding strike your bride. Go with us this afternoon. Minister, Lord, whoever ministers, Lord, speak. Speak to them. That's what we believe, Lord. That's why we're going. We feel that we have something that they need to hear. And without your anointing, without your help, we cannot do it. But we're dependent upon you. So be with us throughout this day. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Yes, Bob.